Hello, everybody, and welcome to another All Hoops podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Inman, sitting next to my co-host, Chris Brito. We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk about the mess that the Washington Wizards have on their hands, a silver lining for the New York Knicks, and our top five players in the Eastern Conference right now. Chris, let's start down in D.C., where the situation's gone from simply meh to a huge problem.
So, for the first time, it looks like there's a mess in D.C. and has nothing to do with politics. This time it's the Wizards, who are in major trouble right now. They've been mediocre for the last several years, but it seems that it's finally caught up to them this year, and they don't have injuries to really make an excuse. So right now they're against the cap, and they are 1-6 at the time of this recording, Friday afternoon. But it looks like the problem is falls mostly on lack of chemistry. And it seems like with the whole Beal-Wall pairing, it hasn't worked. Maybe it's time to shut things down and do something else. Maybe trade one of those guys.
Chris, here's the problem. I'm not sure what they can do here. John Wall is a wonderful player. We're going to talk about our top five players in the Eastern Conference later in the show. But John Wall is on that border for us, right? He is a top player in the Eastern Conference, but he's getting a little older. He's always been battling injuries. He's not shown that he can be a difference maker win-wise. Chris, this is a franchise that has not had a 50-win season since the 70s. The 70s, Chris. Then our New York Knicks can say differently. So right now, John Wall to me is a very, very good point guard, a top five point guard, but I'm not sure you'll get anything for him, Chris, because his contract is enormous. He's starting a four-year, $170 million contract next season. So into his 30s, he'll be making salaries like $43 million and $46 million, Chris.
Well, I'm of the belief that they should, like, trade as many people as they can. Granted, I know it's an albatross of a deal, but, you know, he's still a great player. So I think
what is the upside there? What are you trading him for? Can you get anything back?
You mean like what can the Wizards get for him?
Yes.
I mean, if I'm them and they continue on this terrible road where they are, where like they have won a single game. The Knicks who have no playoff aspirations.
They have won multiple games, Chris.
Have won more games than they have. And it's only one more, but they have more wins than the Wizards. How sad is that? To be honest with you, I think it's time for them. Like, assuming they continue this road, I think they have to consider at least at the trade deadline trading one of those guys. And I think, as you mentioned before the show, the Lakers could be a team that could be interested in someone like Beal. So, if you want to speak more to that point.
Yeah, you know, Brad Beal is, you know, a very good player. Him and Wall have had their differences over the last few years. And it seems like they can't really seem to get the best out of both of them at the same time. It's always one gets hurt, one takes over, the other one gets hurt. He's got 2 years and $56 million on his current contract after this season. Not exactly a bargain, but for a guy like Brad Beal, you'll take that deal. The question is, what can they get back other than salary relief, Chris?
Yeah, I think at this point, like, you just need to make more cap space and start over and, like, there's nothing there. Like, how many more years are they going to realize that? You know, they're not the Raptors, for example. And even the Raptors figured out, hey, we are not good enough to win the East. Let's reset. The Wizards need to reset if they don't get on a winning streak or solve the problem. And it doesn't help that, listen, they traded a guy like Gortat, who they say affected the locker room.
The locker room's much better now, Chris, huh?
Oh, much better. Much better. Yeah. You have Austin Rivers and Dwight Howard who have a history of being great teammates in the locker room, which is complete sarcasm.
Dwight Howard making his debut for those Wizards Friday night. Maybe on the court he can make some kind of difference, you know, but at the same time, I'm not expecting it.
It just doesn't seem like he's the type of leader who would, like, take the reins of the locker room and be like, hey, guys, don't fight. Like, let's figure this out. And it's just sad how they pin it on each other and blame on people wanting to take shots. It's just, come on. At this point, like, it's not working. It's not working. It's not just, it goes further than coaching. At this coaching, and is this team chemistry? It's not going to work. They need to trade one of those people.
I think if they're going to trade one, they should try to trade everybody.
For sure.
You know, I don't know if they can.
And here's the thing. They have value. All the players that they want to get rid of have value. So I think it's imperative for them to look for a deal sooner rather than later. Hey, maybe, you know who I would get on the phone? I would probably get the Timberwolves on the phone. It's not out of the question.
Would a Beal...
I mean, I don't know. I mean, off the top of my head, maybe a Beal, Butler, and Timberwolves like throw in some like future assets at the same time. Like,
would that could make sense? Did we just solve two locker room dysfunctions, Chris?
And to be honest with you, Beal kind of fits with the Timberwolves too. Like they
get really
they've always complained about not having a spot up shooter. Beal's perfect, and he can also score in bunches. So.
And you know what? Maybe Jimmy Butler and John Wall could become best friends. Who knows? We don't know, but that could make a ton of sense
and,
there.
Yeah, and weren't they Team USA teammates? Or no, that was Russ.
Wall, I think, was on that team for a part of it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in any case, I think that's a pairing that could work out.
I mean, again, I'm not trying to discredit Wall. He's a wonderful player. But at the same time, that contract is scary. And again, he has not shown... He could be a difference maker in wins and losses. And, you know, this is, what, 8-9 season for him in the NBA now?
Yeah.
We're about there. So, you know, at this point, I think they're better off dumping him somewhere and starting over.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's move on to the Knicks, who have one more win than the Wizards, but have a much more positive outlook in their path. We like to talk about it a lot. We love the Knicks and we are seeing growth almost every game with this team. Every game with this team. So a lot of the attention has gone to the rookies and younger players. Tim Hardaway, who's also very young, I want to highlight him for a second. So he's clearly taking the reins. This is his team right now. Porzingis is hurt. Knox is hurt. Nobody else is really stepping up scoring wise, and he has. He's averaging close, you know, 26 points a game, averaging 43% shooting. It's a hot start for Timmy. And I'm of the belief that if he continues, he can at least be a candidate to be an all-star, even if the Knicks don't rack up a lot of wins. But hey, if you rack up a few wins against some contenders, you know, get more of a national spotlight, and plus the Knicks fan base is one of the biggest fan bases in the world, so it's not out of the question that someone like him can make it.
I kind of disagree here, Chris, because the All-Star game, the way it's currently constructed, it's just such a small roster that they really just only pick contending players. They only pick guys who are on contending teams, unless you're doing basically what like DeMarcus Cousins would do in his years in Sacramento, which is like MVP numbers, you know, on a bad team. So, Chris, I understand the East is very bad. I won't say definitely he can't make it, but he's going to have to do what he's doing, 26 points per game, and maybe up the assist numbers or become something on defense. And if you could do one of those two things, well, the way the East is, I can't say it definitely can't happen.
Right. I'm just raising the prospect that he can. And you have to also take in consideration that it's in New York, and what I think is 40% of the voting falls on fans.
Bad teams and like teams like the Knicks have not had their fans go out and vote to the degree that other teams have lately.
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, like that year that we had the All-Star here in New York City, Carmelo Anthony wasn't playing lights out. He was injured a lot, and he still made it.
I think it was because the game was here. But you know what? If you're a Knicks fan, you know, a month from now, and the team is 10 under .500, right? Which, you know, right now they're 4 under. They could be 10 under in a month.
Yeah.
Are you going to be on your computer constantly clicking to vote Tim Hardaway Jr. an All-Star?
I mean, I'm just saying it's not out of the question. I mean, maybe if he has a few highlights here and there, get some national attention, it's not out of the question.
So here's my question to you then, Chris. Is this a hot start for Timmy, or is he just...
If he sustains it, I think he can make it.
But is it... Can he sustain this?
In the past, he's shown that he can't. He is the epitome of, you know, hot and cold, right? We've seen him
streaky.
We've seen him light up the basketball court with his scoring, and then like find him nowhere on offense after a while. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of Timmy, and it looks like they're on for a good matchup Friday night against the Dallas Mavericks. You know, Luka's coming into town, so I'm curious to see how that ends up working out too. Like that game, you know,
Luka was a guy who was constantly linked to the Knicks. You know, last year when we were deciding to figure out where they would be in the draft, and you know, as of us recording this on Friday, you know, Luka has been a very good player on offense. He has shown nothing on defense. Mm-hmm. And it kind of does remind me a little bit of what Timmy has done for the Knicks. I mean, Luka's got a little bit more of a style to him in the way he goes about, you know, his shooting and, you know, attacking the rim. But the two of them have been, you know, the bright spots for these two rebuilding teams.
For sure, for sure. So speaking of the Eastern Conference at large now, right, we're already almost at 10 games this season. Right now, the Bucks are leading the conference, followed by the Raptors and Celtics. I want to get your idea of who's been standing out to you. What are your top five players so far this season?
In the Eastern Conference, in order, my top five are Giannis. You know, I think right now he's the MVP. He's the MVP favorite.
No. Go ahead.
He's the MVP favorite. You know, Mike Budenholzer has really unlocked, you know, a new level of Giannis as if he wasn't already an amazing player. And again, if they win 55 games this year, how is he not the favorite with his numbers? He's going to, you know, be practically a triple-double. Number two, Kawhi Leonard.
You know what? Hold on. I want to give credit to Steve on this because we were talking a lot about Giannis and Mike Budenholzer in the offseason. And I was kind of skeptical that he was able to unlock this in Giannis, but so far it seems to be the case. And for a long time, it looked like Bledsoe and Middleton and him couldn't really function too well together.
It's been fantastic.
But it's
the
been
three of them have been fantastic.
Right, but it's been, a fantastic pairing. And now it seems like there's this cohesion that has never been there before. And like now they're sitting at top of the Eastern Conference, whereas in previous years, they would have been middle of the rut again. But it's encouraging to see someone who's seeing something past that what we've seen before with Mike Budenholzer. So I'm curious to see where they end up at the end of the season. So,
okay, number two for me, Kawhi Leonard. I think, you know, his first season in the East has been really well so far. The Raptors are winning a ton of games. They have a ton of depth, and he's really made the guys around him better. I think he will continue to do that as long as he is healthy. The reason I don't put him number one right now is because I'm a little concerned about the injury history. We still don't really know what was wrong with him last year. I mean, is it possible he just decided to sit out the year because he didn't want to be in San Antonio anymore? I mean, it sounds crazy, but we have a similar situation going on with Jimmy Butler, so it's not that crazy. That's why he's number two. Number three for me, Kyrie Irving. I think, you know, there's a big drop-off between the first two and Kyrie, but at the same time, if I need one big bucket, you know, there's really nobody more clutch than Kyrie. He's made such big, big buckets in his career. He's still in the middle of his prime, and he's on a contending team that is going to rely on him to be their number one scorer.
So do you think that just because he's hit – well, for me, for reference, I think right now, right? So
we're talking this moment, November 2nd, time of recording Friday.
So you'd pick Kyrie over someone like Simmons and Wall right now?
Right now, I would.
Okay, fair. All right, who else is on your list?
Well, it's those two guys. Number four, we're going to go with Ben Simmons. I think he's really become this amazing point forward, and a lot of teams are trying to emulate that with, you know, bigger guys trying to dribble the ball. In this positionless era we are now in, Ben Simmons is, you know, the prototypical guy for that. If he just gets that jump shot, Chris, he is as good as anybody.
He's dynamite, yeah.
In basketball, but he's still really good right now, and the Sixers, I think, are going to figure it out. You know, him and Embiid are a dynamic 1-2, and I think they'll find a way to add a third star in there sooner rather than later. And finally, it's John Wall, who continues to put up monster numbers, but again, the Wizards are just 1-6, and you know, to me, he's still the fastest guy in the NBA. When he can go coast to coast as good as anybody in the sport. And, you know, I think he should try to demand a trade and get out of there. And I think we'd be talking about him a whole lot more if he was on a contender.
I feel like we'd be talking to him a lot more if he was on a team that people cared about.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting considering how D.C. is obviously the capital of the U.S. And still,
it's nothing to do with the state. It's just we've seen this team for the last several years be a mid-40s, low-40s team. They didn't add anything other than Dwight Howard. So it's like, what is there to change?
Right, but we still care about, you know, other middle of the road teams. Like, we still care about the Bucks.
The Bucks are getting better, though. They have a new coach. True. You know, and they have Giannis, who's an MVP. John Wall's not that level of player.
Well,
to me, real quick, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
They remind me a little bit of what we saw the last 5-6 years before the tanking began with the Atlanta Hawks, which was a very similar team each and every year. They would win their 50 games, and they were never really a threat past the second round.
But here the Wizards, though, there's a big difference because the Hawks, they were actually a good team. Like, there was no chemistry issues. The problem with them is that they weren't talented.
The Wizards aren't that talented to me, and Wizards, they don't like each other.
The Wizards are talented.
It's just they have the two backcourt guys. That's it. You know?
Fair. I mean, Otto Porter, you can make, okay. I mean, wait, hold on. You can make the argument that at least, you know, in previous years, Otto Porter is seen like was seen as a rising star because of his three-point percentage against that series with Boston Wizards.
And you know what?
That series got
him paid, and he's been meh ever since.
That's true.
He's averaging 10 points a game right now, Chris, making $27 million.
You know,
not shooting the ball from three.
I know, it's pathetic. So I agree with your first two picks. I think Giannis and Leonard are the clear two favorites. I have to disagree with the other three. I think Blake Griffin has actually shown a lot for the Pistons, and I was skeptical at
Point Blake is back.
Point Blake is back. And I was skeptical that pairing would work with Drummond, but Griffin has been an absolute, I don't want to call him an MVP candidate yet, but like he's definitely like in that top 10 conversation the way he's been playing. I mean, the Pistons are what? Maybe the fifth best team in the East
so
right
far,
now.
So far, so good. Dwayne Casey done a good job with him.
I mean, I think this speaks more to Dwayne Casey's credit because I think in Toronto, people always thought, oh, because of DeMar DeRozan and Laurie. But no, look, he's doing the same thing in a different city.
Without guards.
I feel like this speaks to Casey's greatness, whereas Nick Nurse is just taking advantage of like the team that was there. And I'm not knocking Nurse. I mean,
Nurse is doing a good job in different ways. They're playing a lot faster now, which I think is one of the reasons why Dwayne Casey would let go there. They didn't like the speed they played at. But, you know, Dwayne Casey
I'm just trying to like make the point that he's actually a good coach because he's taking what he has and making the most out of it, squeezing all the lemonade he can. And for me, the next best player has been Oladipo, who doesn't get enough credit, I think, because of the market he's in. He's averaging, you know, a little bit above 25 points per game, and he's leading the Pacers to also, you know, if the playoffs ended today, his team would be there too. I agree. Simmons is probably a top five player in the East right now too. He doesn't always show it in the scoring sheet, but he shows it in other stats like assists, rebounds. I feel like I need to make an honorable mention with Kemba Walker, who even though his team is 4-5, they're doing a lot with very little talent too. So that also speaks to Kemba's greatness. He might also be if the Hornets don't make it anywhere, he might be a candidate who also gets traded on later
for
on the season.
At the end of the year.
Yeah. And he's a guy who definitely deserves to get paid.
And again, he kind of like the Wizards, we don't talk about him enough and his greatness because that team around him is so meh. And you just know that their upside is winning mid-40s games and then hopefully winning a few playoff games.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be an Eastern Conference Finals contender.
Mm-hmm.
So I think right now he's better off waiting for free agency and signing a big deal somewhere else.
Agree. Steve, we'll break down our top five best players for the West next week. But before we move on, what are some of your highlights from last week that you want to talk about today?
Real quick, you know, you did mention Blake Griffin, and if you said to me 2 weeks ago that Blake Griffin would be on our top five list right now,
yeah.
I would say, what year is this? You know, and then I would say, wait, how did he get in the East? But that's beside the point. He had 50 points the other day. I saw this crazy stat about 50-point games. We had 4 50-point games this week. The last time we had that was about 10 years ago. All four of those 50-point games by Kobe.
Kobe, yeah, I remember that.
And what a remarkable run that was. He's got to give respect to the great Kobe Bryant. Basically that was one of the highlights, that Blake Griffin has been able to play at an elite level, as good as he's ever played, with another big and Andre Drummond. And you keep seeing around the league.
He's motivated.
He's very motivated. And, you know, it's nice to see, because this is not a guy like competing for a contract or anything. He's gotten his money. And basically he was dumped by the Clippers. And for him to be like, I'm going to show people I'm not, you know, done. I'm actually, my best basketball is still ahead of me, has been remarkable. Because around the NBA, mm-hmm. you see, you know, two bigs on the court at the same time hasn't been working. You look at like Ibaka and Jonas in Toronto. They basically don't start Jonas anymore. And this Ibaka plays the five, you know. And you're wondering if something like that would have to happen in Detroit with those two big money players in Drummond and Blake. And it has not been. They've both been fantastic.
Agree. It speaks a lot to Blake because he's clearly playing for pride here. And, you know, the Clippers, to their credit though, Blake was always injured, and I feel like their patience was like running pretty thin. But at the same time, if you're gonna sign a guy for like a few years and to a max contract, I think like you kind of need to like stand by him too, or else you look ridiculous. But it worked out for the Pistons. So speaking of 50 points, the person I want to talk about is Derrick Rose, former Knick. I have to say that I think this is impressive on so many levels, but I think it's even more impressive considering how he scores. Because he's not a guy who like shoots threes like Klay Thompson, who also scored a 50-point game this week, which is another impressive feat to talk about too. But Derrick Rose, who has gone through two, you know, arthroscopic surgeries, you know, he's been traded, he's been dropped from teams. The Bulls didn't want him anymore. His hometown team, the Knicks, took him. Then the Knicks didn't want him anymore. But he's found new life in Minnesota, and I think good for him, you know, scoring 50 points, showing that he still has it. And I think people should stop doubting that he still has it, because he clearly does. Not everyone can score 50 points a game like that. And it wasn't against any other Joe Schmo team. It was against the Utah Jazz.
And got them a much-needed win. I remember, so, Utah cut him last year.
Yeah, it's true.
Cut him.
True.
From the Jay Crowder deal.
True.
The way we'd rather have him at home.
And in this case, a rose blooms twice.
That's not bad, Chris. That's not bad. You know, with Derrick Rose, I thought it was very interesting. Around the league, people were giving him credit, and you kind of forget. It seems so long ago now that he was an MVP guy. He was a guy who
put the city
on his back, and it's really nice to see him bounce back. I didn't have the best memories of him from his time in New York. You know, when I think of Derrick Rose, I always think of when he went AWOL.
Yeah.
Against the Pelicans. But, you know, good for him. He is back. And, you know, that T-Wolves team really need a new narrative. And to have a guy who was cut last year score 50 and get the team to win against a team that cut him, that's pretty cool.
And to see him get emotional after that, too, it's just like, man, how do you not feel inspired after that? How do you not feel, like, motivated after all he's been through? Not saying all of it is, you know, he went through his – you know, criminal court case or whatever that happened a few years ago too. I mean, a bunch of things that, you know, he overcame, and, you know, now he's here, and good for him.
Good for him. My final thought, you know, college basketball is back, and, you know, while this is an NBA podcast, we will from time to time bring up draft prospects. And for all your tanking needs early in the season, keep an eye on Duke. They have the top expected three players. They also have a pretty good young point guard who's actually Tyus Jones' brother, who's, you know, they're making some kind of fantastic four down at Duke. And, Chris, I think if the Knicks were able to get one of those front three guys, you know.
Who's your pick if one of those Duke
guys? That's a great question. I think Zion right now is the best player, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But Barrett, to me, is the best fit because they think he has the the highest floor. They think at worst he's a DeMar DeRozan type who is a slashing it to the rim, who can, you know, can defend. And, you know, if he can get that shot working, mm-hmm. he could be a really special player.
I got to admit, I'm really excited about the potential here because, Porzingis comes back, assume he's healthy, he becomes a one or two option. Hypothetically, let's say we get Durant. Then we get him, and then we get whatever pick comes in 2019.
How long have you been a fan of this team, Chris? Since what year?
To be honest with you, I became a fan not in 1999 when they went to the finals. I became a fan because of Stephon Marbury.
Okay. Which was a mistake.
Which was a mistake, but that's the reason why I became a...
I was actually around that time, too. It was around 04, 05 for me. I was 12, 13 years old. And, you know, I've seen one 50-win season. I've seen one playoff series win in about, what, almost 15 years now, Chris. If that happened, that scenario happens, that would be the best time we will ever have as Knicks fans in our lives. So we'll have to wait. So it's not that sad. It's supposed to be happy.
But you know what? At the same time, there are not a lot of teams who win championships. Like, the Knicks are one of the few.
Yes, but there are a lot of teams that have some kind of playoff success over multiple seasons. But we'll get to all that another time. The free agency is going to be a whole lot of fun, but that's not till July. We have plenty more to do. Western Conference top five next week, Chris. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No. That'll be it for now, guys. And thank you again for listening. We'll catch you again next week. We'll be right back.